Hello and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast. My name is Bobby Clark. I'm a senior editor here at ISIS in Houston, and I'm joined by John Dietrich, who's also a senior editor, but also our resident olefins expert. And we are going to talk about ethylene today. So the contract just settled, right?
That's right. We just had a double-month settlement for we had April and May, and ended up being a net increase of a quarter of a cent per pound. What basically happened was April talks had centered around a rollover or a slight decline of a quarter of a cent per pound. The two sides couldn't agree, so they kicked it over to May. And when the May numbers all came in, it kind of supported an increase of half a cent per pound from April, from the hypothetical April settlement, wherever it ended up being. So that gave them a net increase of a quarter of a cent per pound. So they rolled over April, and then they only increased May by a quarter of a cent per pound as opposed to a half a cent per pound.
Okay. So this seems small. Was that an expected increase?
Yeah. The ethylene market has been, especially in the spot market, prices have been pretty range-bound. We haven't crossed the 37 cent per pound barrier since early February, even with as much kind of increase in crude and some volatility there. And they haven't gone below 33 cents a pound in that time frame either. You know, they've been pretty firmly lodged in a 34 to 36. We're starting to see today a bit of an uptick. Prices are up to 36.5 for front month ethylene, which right now is June. And a lot of that is probably likely due to better demand. What's going on right now is that in Europe, I think like every cracker is like shut down or just not running. Not obviously not every cracker, but they are having major production issues.
Yes.
And so while that would theoretically open up an arbitrage window for ethylene, you know, shipping and logistics is just a nightmare, mm-hmm. and it's expensive. But that then opens up the arbitrage window downstream for polyethylene, for PVC, for styrene. And so what I think we're seeing is a lot of the derivatives from the U.S. have kind of regained some of their cost advantage, especially given the wide spread between Brent and WTI. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, the Asian producers and the European producers are running, you know, higher cost ethylene, higher cost derivatives, and the U.S. has kind of been able to reclaim more of the export market, you know, that it had had before crude came kind of crashing down. And so now, you know that there's that export market, the U.S. guys are able to kind of use more of the ethylene that they've been producing. And so we have been kind of seeing some, you know, growing demand and slightly increasing prices. Kind of at the start of the second quarter, and kind of heading into kind of the peak summer demand. You know, construction is at its best, and you know, generally just consumption is at its highest.
Okay.
The downward pressure continues to be oversupply in Texas, and then just kind of long supply in general. Right now ethylene prices in Louisiana are at about the mid-50s. Because of the supply crunch, because you've got Williams is back down. They've been down since late May. There was like an electrical storm and it knocked out the power. So I think they're having production issues. Dow is having an issue at one or two of its Louisiana crackers, and then the Evangeline pipeline remains down. So a lot
Any
of ethylene.
Any update on the Evangeline situation?
I've heard that it might be coming back around June 10th or mid June. It's kind of one of those, it'll be back when it's back. Mm-hmm. There've been announcements before and then they've been delayed or they found issues. I mean, it seems like the pipeline has got some long-term problems. Right. So we'll kind of see when it runs, how long it runs for, and how steady it's able to run.
But our strong production in Texas is just, makes up for whatever you're not getting from Louisiana, right? Like it's
if you were looking at it from just a raw perspective, mm-hmm. yes. The problem becomes though that there are a lot of derivative plants in Louisiana mm-hmm. that aren't getting fed the ethylene they need because it comes from mm-hmm. either Dow's from the Dow cracker, from the Williams cracker, or it gets shipped by via the Evangeline pipeline from mm-hmm. the crackers in Texas to Louisiana. And so, you know, most of the polyethylene production is in Texas, so polyethylene is fine. A lot of PVC production, however, has struggled, and styrene production, because they've got a lot of downstream plants. They've got their plants in Louisiana, but they're getting a lot of ethylene from Texas. Mm-hmm. When they can't get what they need, either from the Louisiana crackers or from Texas via pipeline, it becomes scarce. And so that does limit the ability to export styrene and PVC, mm-hmm. where in a way that it doesn't hit polyethylene as much. So no, the fact that we're long in Texas and short Louisiana doesn't balance itself out. Okay. It causes problems for some derivatives,
interesting,
and not for others. You know, and I think the expectation that that the Evangeline will be back is sort of leading to some higher prices, because when the Evangeline comes back, you know, a lot of ethylene will get moved from Texas to Louisiana. It'll start to equalize the price, because mm-hmm. traditionally, when the ethylene can go where it needs to go, when everybody is up and running in Louisiana, when the pipeline is running well, the spread should only be about 1 to 2 cents per pound. And right now it's about 19, 20 wow. cents a pound. I mean, you know, it's been as wide as 25 cents a pound in the last year and a half because of, you know, Williams having had all those production issues, because the Evangeline has been down and had, you know, issues running.
So the Evangeline's a key piece in this whole equation,
well,
right?
It's a combination of the Evangeline and Williams. Mm-hmm. If one is on and the other isn't, then that spread gets decently narrow.
Okay.
You know, maybe not as narrow as it could. It's when you've had both of them, because, you know, Williams does not have Williams is a merchant seller mm-hmm. of ethylene. They don't have derivative
right.
production. So when you lose a big merchant producer, you know, all these guys got to go on to the merchant market, as opposed to just being able to kind of cover it themselves or shut down a downstream unit, or maybe, you know, throttle production that way. So the combination of, you know, a couple producers in Texas not able to get their ethylene into Louisiana for their preferred downstream units, and a major merchant seller in Louisiana being down, is what's kind of causing this imbalance in spot pricing. But you know, kind of long term, you know, the other big downward piece might be that, you know, Lyondell is supposed to have an expansion coming up soon at Channelview. I think it's about like 115,000, 120,000 tons per year, maybe a little less. So it's going to put more ethylene on the market. And, you know, how much of that is going to get absorbed by the spot, the exports of the derivatives, and how much is just going to be, you know, long supply.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think, you know, kind of heading into the summer, into the peak summer, you know, season, yeah, we could start to see, there's probably more factors pulling up on ethylene as opposed to pushing down. But I think any kind of ethylene spot price increase and contract price increase, they're going to be very small. It's going to be very slow growth. And I mean, we could easily get into, you know, the third quarter, and demand could turn down, and we can kind of come, you know, back down. And of course, a big factor is also going to be, you know, what does crude oil do? I mean, I think tomorrow is right. the OPEC meeting. And, you know, from that is going to come kind of what the global commodities are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if OPEC, you know, runs it right back up, everything just keeps going,
yeah.
You know, that's going to slow down the growth. If OPEC decides to slow things down, then that opens up, you know, more and more arbitrage opportunities, and then ethylene can kind of come right up, you know, kind of snugly under, you know, global polyethylene prices, and, you know, reclaim a lot of margin. I mean, right now, your typical spot margin on ethylene has been, you know, mid to high 20 cents per pound, which is very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, before crude oil came crashing down, these guys were looking at margins comfortably in the 50s,
right.
You know, so that's a lot of margin that they've lost over the last year.
Well, let's talk about the feedstocks then. Ethane has been pretty steady. I mean, we saw a little bit of a pull down last week when propane plummeted because mm-hmm. we had some inclement weather here in Texas, and propane fell to 13-year low, something like that, I had reported. What are you seeing on that aspect? I mean, are your guys telling you that they are definitely looking at propane and butane because prices are low, or are they sticking with ethane right now?
Well, right now, I mean, every cracker makes some decisions based mm-hmm. on what its technical limitations are and what its kind of downstream commitments are. In general, for the whole of the U.S. olefins market. They're going to run as much, right now they're probably running as much propane and butane as they can. You know, ethane is still favored over naphtha and gas oil. But I mean, the limitation is that the majority of the crackers are, they're ethane based, whether they like it or not. And long term, I mean, I think everyone's still pretty comfortable betting on ethane being the dominant feedstock. I mean, there is some flexibility built in.
But there's no other outlet for ethane. That is its sole purpose.
Yeah, but that's not that's not what the crackers don't.
Yeah,
that's not the
crackers.
Problem,
yeah, they don't.
You know, I mean, if we look at the latest, you know, Hodgson report from Jacobs Consultancy, you know, again with butane and propane being, you know, very attractive, they looked at April. I mean, they represented maybe 30% of the feed slate,
and that's about ethane maybe still the dominant.
Ethane is still the dominant because I mean that's going to be long term. That's your cheapest feedstock. That's where your best margins are. These guys, they made that bet that ethane is the way to go, and you know they're stuck with it to a degree. And I mean, they're still making excellent margin. I mean, if you're looking at
forward, they'll continue to make excellent.
Yeah, they'll continue to make excellent margin. Ethane was the safe bet. It was the smart bet. And I mean, if you're looking at like propane and butane, they might have, you know, a couple cent per pound, you know, advantage on ethane, but it's not as though, you know, these guys are leaving a whole bunch of money on the table by cracking ethane instead of, you know, having had the ability to crack anything that they
wanted. But see, that's the thing though. There's no other outlet for ethane. Like propane and butane, they're looking at it now, but even since prices fell last week, they've rebounded pretty significantly in the days since.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more opportunity for competition for propane and butane because it can be used in other areas. We export it. It's easier to export. We don't have any ethane exports right now, and that's something that's debatable down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think long term they're right. Ethane is the
I get the impression that they're totally comfortable. Mm-hmm, I mean they're being as flexible. They built in flexibility because I mean that was the smart thing to do. If you're going to build, if you're going to make a big capital investment, you might as well give yourself flexibility. But most of what they're going to be using is ethane, and so you know from a technical kind of a physical standpoint.
Right.
Ethane has to be the dominant feedstock because that's what these crackers are designed to run, and that's what they've been shifting toward. And they're still making very good margin on ethane, even as you know butane and propane are a little more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good deal. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us here in Houston. Again, my name is Bobby Clark, senior editor here at ISIS, and John Dietrich, who is also a senior editor. Olefins expert. Until next time, thank you.